This podcast is sponsored by Great White Hot Sauce. It's a small batch, handmade hot sauce made specially for you. So if you like hot sauce, you'll love Great White Hot Sauce. It's the hot sauce that bites back. Find it at www.trygreatwhite.com. Well, we lost another rock legend. Last week, Dusty Hill, the bass player from ZZ Top, passed away. So this week, we're going to talk about ZZ Top and assorted other topics. And as Jesus just left Chicago, we're going to grab our cheap sunglasses, head on down to LaGrange, because we're looking for some tush. And come on, man. I ain't asking for much. On
LaGrange, they got a lot of nice girls.
KOFB Studio presents Milk Crates and Turntables, a music discussion podcast hosted by Scott McLean with his co-host, Jack Calabrese. Now, let's talk music. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the podcast. It's good to be back with my partner, who had taken last week off, my hombre. My Z to his Z, he's Z to my Z, and I'm not going to tell you. No, I won't say it. I won't finish it. That would have been a very tacky joke. Anyways, welcome to the podcast. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. If you like music, welcome. If you have a friend that likes music, well, share this podcast, share this video, subscribe, like, leave a comment. You can contact us at milkcratesandturntables@gmail.com if you have any show suggestions. And without further ado, like I said, let me bring on my hombre, Mr. Jack Calabrese. gee, good to have you back, Jack.
Yeah, I know you missed me. I know you missed me. Partner, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, so you ready to do a good show?
I'm ready to do a good show.
Well, first, let's get to you're going to a show tomorrow. I'm going to see Korn tomorrow night for my sixth time. Outstanding band. Outstanding. If you've never seen them live, you must see them.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. meanwhile, you told me that you gave up a show tonight to do the podcast. And
I did. I actually had the opportunity to go down to Fenway Park to see the one, the only Billy Joel.
You made the right choice.
No, are you kidding me? Billy, how can you make that noise? The man is an icon. He's an American legend. He's a treasure.
Are you done?
Hey.
Are you done?
What can I tell you?
Billy Joel is...
What's wrong with Billy? Wait a minute. What is wrong with Billy Joel there, corn boy?
I don't know. Overplayed, overhyped, overweight. What do you... How many more? I can go 100 places with this.
Elton John, overplayed, overhyped, overweight?
At this point, yes.
Ah, oh, man, see?
His voice isn't cynical. The same
you're
as it was in the 80s.
In your old age.
No. They got bad in their old age. I mean, come on. Come on, man. What are you going to see? Billy Joel sit there. He doesn't get up and move around.
How do you know that?
I've seen videos of his concerts. He sits there.
You know, listen, I've spent more time with you in the past year than I have in the past 10, and all I've seen you is sit in front of that fucking mic. I haven't even seen you play the Led Zeppelin pinball machine yet.
What? What are you comparing me to, Billy Joel and Elton John?
No. They have talent.
Oh, Jesus. Take a week off and look what we have here. Ah, all right. You want to sharpen the knives? All right. Let's bring them out tonight, buddy.
But you know, in all honesty, I have not seen you play that.
Well, because you live in fucking New Hampshire and I live in South Florida.
I expected a video of you playing the pinball machine.
Yeah, that's exciting.
About as exciting as
you get to see the back of my head, my melon, looking down at a pinball, me racking up. What the, are you out of your mind? So I'm going to see Korn tomorrow night. You're going to see somebody tomorrow night?
Yeah. So there's a big show again. So big week for Fenway Park. So last night, Guns N' Roses played with the opening band of Mammoth. Do you know who Mammoth is?
Yeah, that's Van Halen's son. He's no Michael Anthony.
He's no Michael Anthony, but he's a talented kid. I'll give him that. Yeah. On that this record that he put out, he played, you know, all of the instruments. He's not his father. I'm not saying that he is, right?
They never are.
He's trying to make it in the music world in his own right to a certain extent. I'm sure he's,
he's getting a lot of help.
He's getting a lot of
help. Being a millionaire doesn't hurt. Right? So, and I'm not knocking the kid.
So Guns N' Roses last night, Billy Joel tonight, and tomorrow night is Weezer,
like
Green Day. It was supposed to be Fall Out Boy, but they had to cancel because somebody on their road crew tested positive for COVID-19. And in a band called The Interrupters, which is a new band, and one of the reasons why I'm going to the show is The Interrupters have a horn section, and believe it or not, one of my neighbors is actually in the band. Billy Cottage
is
the trombone player. He used to be in Real Big Fish.
Okay.
And now playing with The Interrupters, so I'm being a good neighbor, and I'm going down to support him.
Excellent.
Plus, Green Day is one of the premier live bands of the last decade or two.
Fuck, I'd rather see Billy Joel. Green Day. How the fuck is Green Day in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
They're a great band.
Billy Joel before Green Day in my book. Let's put it. And I would see Weezer and then leave. How's that? Because Weezer is a very underrated group.
I don't understand this disdain that you have for Green Day. They're a fine band.
They're not that good. They're not good enough to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But they are.
Yeah, well, and that's an issue, right? I can hear an echo now. I told you during the show, all of a sudden I'll hear an echo coming out of your...
Because you start modulating. You get all hyped up. You need to take your blood pressure medication and just take it down a notch.
How about you get technically sound? Where's Scott the engineer where I need him? And finally get a pair of headphones. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, so listen, in all honesty, I've seen Green Day a handful of times in concert. They are wicked fun, play with a lot of energy. Those guys can play, and they're awesome live.
We just got a comment from Bob Doucette, one of the viewers of the live stream. We're streaming live over Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube right now. He says, I'd take a BJ over Green Day any day. I'll take a PB&J. Over Green Day, any day.
Yeah, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. They're a great band.
I know. Look, I'm such a moron.
Wait, hold on a second. Not that this is a fair comparison or anything like that, but just play along with me for a second.
I'll amuse you.
You're going to see Korn tomorrow night.
Right. Backed up by Stained.
Good band, right? So Where are they playing?
Playing up in West Palm Beach Amphitheater. Whatever name it is now. They change it every year.
So how many people does the West Palm Amphitheater hold?
Oh, that's probably because you 12, have the amphitheater and then the lawn.
12, 15,000?
Yeah.
So Green Day is playing Fenway Park for what, 40?
So?
It's not a comparison. All I'm saying is
how many people are going just to say they saw a concert in Fenway, number one?
No.
Because it's shitty seats no matter where you are during a concert.
There have been concerts in Fenway Park since 2003.
Yeah, and most of the seats suck.
18 years. And look, I'm not trying to draw a comparison, smaller crowd to a larger crowd, but the reality is that Green Day, who has been around for a long, long time,
since the 90s,
are still capable of filling a huge venue like Fenway Park. You may not like them, but that doesn't mean that they suck.
You like that negative space? Are you done?
Good use of negative space.
See? Are you done? If I say they suck, then they suck.
That is your opinion.
This is one of those change my mind moments.
I don't have to change your mind. If you don't enjoy them, if they don't touch your soul, if they don't get your rocks off, you know, you can hang around with your corn band. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
My corn band. You can hang around with that corn band.
Those corn guys, you know.
Well, there's another detractor. So we're gathered here today on this podcast to mourn the loss of a fucking phenomenal bass player, Dusty Hill,
ZZ Top.
Passed away last week.
72 years old.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I've seen, turn your mic, turn your speaker down, if you could. Or bring your mic away from your computer. I'm just hearing myself.
I know. It's awful, isn't it?
It's an echo. It's a podcast.
It's terrible hearing you.
Now point the mic at yourself. Oh, my God. Scott, the IT guy, is he on vacation too?
How's that?
Good. Good. So now I hear myself again. What's that noise? Oh, was that the train?
There's a train going by.
I heard the train. All right. I'm getting sidetracked here.
Sounds like corn.
Is this an episode of Supernatural? You know, in every episode of Supernatural, there's a train in the background.
That's Billy. That's old Dusty.
That's Dusty.
Going by Dusty.
I don't know if you. I know you have seen them. I've seen them, I think, 6 times. And I'll tell you what, I have been to a lot of concerts, not as many as you. But ZZ Top is one of the four bands that I've seen more than once. It's that rare band in my book, and when Dusty Hill played that bass, it vibrates in your chest.
Yeah.
I read something recently. A guy said he took his wife to see them in concert, and his bass was so thick, she got nauseous.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know. He sang some songs, too. It wasn't just...
Sure did. He sang Tush.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know that. But, you know, ZZ Top, you know, one of the distinctions is they were the band that had been around the longest without a disruption in their original lineup.
53 years.
53 years.
Yeah.
We're, you know, in one of the consummate American bands that originally could not get signed to an American label.
Yeah,
they were originally signed to London Records because everybody else turned them down.
Yeah, yeah. But two weeks ago, this subject came up, the name ZZ Top, and you said it came from Rolling Papers.
It did not.
Well, I did my research, and basically what comes out is Billy Gibbons, they lived in a small apartment. The apartment was full of concert posters.
Yeah.
And he noticed that a lot of these people used their initials. They used initials. B.B. King. Who else was it?
ZZ Hill.
Hill. So he thought of originally calling it ZZ King, but it sounded too close to B.B. King. So he went with ZZ Hill. I mean, ZZ Top, because he figured B.B. King was at the top of his game.
Kings are close to the top.
Yeah. So, but there is... There was a theory that it was a combination of two popular Rolling Papers, Zigzag and Top. Top was a Rolling Paper. Because I was talking to somebody and they said they've never heard of ZZ Top Rolling Papers. Remember I said that? I said I'd never heard of them. But
yeah, it was the combination. You know, yeah. I think that's kind of like, it's like one of those evolution things. Like, you know, and who knows, right? This is all legend, right? So could it have been the combination of the Rolling Papers, but, you know, as time goes on, they don't want that association. So he kind of comes up with an equally good story.
I don't think they care. They're rock and rollers.
I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, maybe you don't want to be so associated with, you know, being a, you know, a drug band. Not that ZZ Top was a drug band, but if their name was kind of derived from that.
Well, they did have a drug issue at one point. Frank Beard had a drug issue.
Was a mess. By the way, if anybody that's watching this or listening to this hasn't seen it, there's a pretty great documentary on the band that came out last year. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think there's been a couple of like smaller documentaries that they've done on them, but Frank Beard spent his first major paycheck. He had, it was like $72,000 on drugs.
Yes,
straight up LSD, heroin. I mean, and he's an ornery bastard.
Lots of zigzags and top rolling papers.
That dude is all business. You see him come on stage, he just doesn't. He has this like I don't give a fuck attitude. Like, let me just get this shit done, you know, and get the fuck out of here.
They're, you know, working class band. Although, so you said that you've seen them six times. Like, how early did you get to see them?
First time I saw them was '83.
When
Eliminator came out, yeah.
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 Which was a great show. Do you remember who the opening band was?
Oh, we talked about this. I don't.
Sammy Hagar.
That's right. And I don't like Sammy Hagar. That's why it didn't happen. That's why I didn't.
But not a bad opening band. Not a bad opening band. But you know what we did miss is one of the things that ZZ Top became famous for is their shows in the 70s. They would actually bring livestock. Well,
they tried. They had they brought on a Brahma bull. They had chickens on stage. They had rattlesnakes in cages, and the bull hit the cage, the rattlesnake cage, and the snakes fell out during the show on the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Those boys, you know, they kind of lost money in those early days. You know, I mean, I think it took ZZ Top a little while to kind of find their audience. I mean, let's be honest. ZZ Top was a mid-level band, you know, with your, and I'm not comparing them, but, you know, kind of on the same level as like your Foghats and, you know, they weren't like a Rolling Stones, you know, Pink Floyd, you know, big giant band like that. They were a mid-level band in the 70s where they really, really hit their stride was when they kind of changed their sound and got popular with Eliminator and kind of the synthesizers and the sequencers and the music videos.
MTV. Actually, Billy Gibbons is he's a big fan of this synth pop group called Telex from like, I don't know where they're from, Belgium or something like that. Yeah, Belgium. So me and Billy, synth pop.
Yes, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, he likes them so much he invites them to concerts. They've been around since 78, I guess. But so last time I saw them was at the Jackie Gleason Theater in Miami, Fillmore East, with Jim Hurley, Birdman, and Phil Kelly. They flew down from Boston. I had tickets. It was St. Patrick's Day we saw them. And during the show, Billy Gibbons, he has a great voice. He's talking. He starts talking about how he used to tour with, they toured with Jimi Hendrix. That was their first tour. So
ZZ Top did or the moving sidewalks or the moving elevators or whatever his first band was called?
I think it was ZZ Top. And he said that, they didn't have enough songs to fill their 40-minute set. So they did, Foxy Lady and Deep Purple. And I gotta get the quote. He said, Jimi Hendrix, when they came off, Hendrix just looked at him and said, you got a lot of balls, but I like you. He actually went on the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show, in like 69 or 70, and said that Billy Gibbons is the best guitarist best young guitarist in the world at that point.
Yeah, I think the Billy Gibbons, Jimi Hendrix story that I like best is that they were in a hotel and Jeff Beck record came out. I don't know if it was Truth, but one of like the Jeff Beck group. And they sat together. They, you know, grabbed a couch and they had a, you know, little stereo console and they listened to the Jeff Beck and they sat there trying to figure out how Jeff Beck did what he did on those records, who was also a great innovator.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, you know, just to bring things full circle, I believe that I may have just read that ZZ Top actually, before Dusty Hill died, have enough songs in the can, so to speak, that they're putting out a record, a new ZZ Top record. And one of the tracks, I believe, is actually going to feature Jeff Beck.
Interesting. But I got to see something during that show that I don't know how many people got to see it. And when he was done telling that story, he said, now I'm going to play a little song from my friend. And they bust into Purple Haze. ZZ Top playing Purple Haze was one of the fucking coolest things I'd ever seen. I think I got it recorded somewhere on my phone, on my computer. But it was just a phenomenal show. Glad I got to see that last one. They were actually, they were going to tour again, and they were coming down here, and I passed. I was like, nah, I'm not going to get tickets this time. Well, there you go. Maybe if I bought a ticket, he would have lived.
I'm sure that would have been the thing.
I have a lot of guilt.
It would have changed it all, man.
I have a lot. Hey, what is it? The time continuum, whatever they call it, time and something continuum. So
you know, ZZ Top doesn't come without a little bit of controversy, right? So, you know, again, mid-level band in the 70s, huge in the mid-80s, and then they try to capitalize on that song, and just like MTV grew a little stale, so did ZZ Top a little bit. You know, they just weren't able to kind of maintain that. And they eventually kind of abandoned the synthesizers and the sequencers and the drum machines and whatnot and kind of got back to their original sound. But one of the pieces of criticism, and I'm interested in hearing your comment on this, and I actually looked at it online today, is that ZZ Top has repeatedly been accused of lip syncing on stage.
Really?
Now, I will tell you from my perspective, you know, I had heard this the last time that I saw them. I tried to pay pretty close attention. I was fortunate enough to be relatively close to the stage. And they do play to a backing track, you know, especially those songs from the 80s. You know, there's synthesizer in there. And there's only three people on stage. So that sound is coming from somewhere. And I don't really criticize them for that. There are a lot of bands that do that. You know, when U2 plays Where the Streets Have No Name, there's a keyboard part to that. And there ain't no keyboard player on stage with them. And I think that their shows are pretty well choreographed, that they play to some type of backing track. Pink Floyd used to be accused of doing the same thing. I think there are a lot of bands that do that to try to fill out their sound a little bit. But the one thing that I will tell you is that I thought, based on what I saw, that they were absolutely playing live, with the exception of Sharp Dressed Man and Legs. It seemed to me that, you know, they may have been playing live, but there's no way that Billy was singing those songs. He was a little bit off. And if you think about those songs are in a much higher register. And when you get older, it's hard to hit those notes.
I'd never heard that. And I again, seeing them six times, I think it is, and three of them, actually four of them, from, I saw them twice in Boston when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s. Then I saw them, I believe it's twice at the Hard Rock in at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. And then twice, I think, at the Fillmore. I never thought that they were lip syncing. It never even entered my mind.
Yeah,
there's going to be backing track music.
Sure.
Because, like you said, you got to fill in those songs. And I think artists have come a long way in the – in the respect of they're like, hey, listen, we're just going to give him a good show, you know. Well, but lip syncing, I never – because he screams like he has
you know, the reality of it is, you know, from a, you know, backing track standpoint, even to a, you know, from a lip syncing standpoint, 99.9% of the people in that audience, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They just want to be entertained. You know, it's older guys and purists that want to make sure that they're playing every single note. And I, you know, I see that one of our commentators say that they ripped off John Lee Hooker, and they kind of did. But, you know, they didn't necessarily specifically rip off John Lee Hooker. They were big fans of the blues, and they loved that music, and they were influenced by it, and they played that music. So I don't really – I don't discredit anything that they've done. If John Lee Hooker was an influence for them, great. But he brought – or ZZ Top brought that music to the masses, and then some.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to correct myself, and again, I – when they had those live animals on stage, it was buffaloes, a buffalo, some vultures, and rattlesnakes.
Yeah,
I want to get that story right.
I think we were a little. I think we were a little too young to see those tours.
Oh, so. I think so. Although the first time I heard about ZZ Top, my grandparents lived in Mission Hill in Roxbury, and we somehow my father got us two tickets. He had two tickets to a Red Sox game on a Sunday. So me and my oldest brother, Colin, so let me see. If this was 70, I was probably 9 or 10. So he was probably 13, 14. And back then, you could walk from Mission Hill over to Fenway and not worry about anything in Roxbury, right? And I remember him saying, he goes, oh, I just heard this album or something like that. And he just says, live from Dallas, Texas, ZZ Top. And he just kept doing it. And he played the air guitar. And I was like, who the hell is ZZ Top? You know, I was listening to Bowie at the time.
ZZ Top, like, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was, you know, first getting into music on my own, I didn't understand ZZ Top, you know. But now you got to remember that, you know, this is pre-1980, so they didn't have the long beards yet. You know, right. They didn't have the, you know, the scruffy, you know, hats and whatnot. You know, Billy Gibbons was wearing a big, kind of like 10-gallon hat and didn't really have a beard. He had scruff.
Yeah.
You know, but they looked like a country band. You know, so you know when you're coming from, you know, listening to Aerosmith and, you know, Zeppelin and Queen and Kiss. And then you see these guys in, you know, Texas suits and sequins and rhinestones and stuff like that. I didn't know what to make of it. I just didn't understand it. You know, they just seemed like a band that was way too old for me at the time.
Yeah. We knew about, well, I did. I knew about LaGrange and Tush.
What are you saying? You don't think that I knew about that stuff? You don't think I listened to the radio? You think you're the only one that knew about Tush and LaGrange? Okay. Well, I knew about it. I knew about it.
I don't pretend to speak for you, my friend. Plus, you were like 7.
So we're a year and a half apart from one another.
Is that it? How old are you? I thought you were older than me.
Just more mature.
That is true. So over their career, they racked up in excess of 50 million albums. They hold 6 number one singles on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Chart. They achieved 4 gold, 3 platinum, 2 multi-platinum, and 1 diamond album. And that's pretty significant for a 3-man. And the thing about them, they split the money 3 ways.
Yep.
Everything was 3. There was no, like, I write the song. Everything was 3 ways. No matter, if you look at their net worth, they're all worth the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Easier to do when you're in a 3-piece. You don't see the band Chicago with 19 fucking people splitting it all equally.
Right. And Billy Gibbons was asked, how did you stay together so long? And his answer was simple. Separate tour buses. That's what he said.
It's not a bad idea.
And it's easy for three guys.
Just like you and I.
Yeah.
We get together, we do the show, but you know, once the show's over, we go to our respective corners.
Or tour buses.
It's the only way that you and I get along. I say it to everybody that I talk to. I was like, you don't understand, Scott McClain, one of my closest friends for almost 50 years and on the verge of never speaking to each other again for 50 years.
And I like my tour bus. You like your tour bus.
That's right. You can play your corny music and sit there and listen to Green Day and BJ's.
So I want to get to that. I want to get to that. I don't want to give up on ZZ Top yet. We still got a lot to talk about. But I remember the first time we saw them, I think didn't their equipment get stolen at the Garden? And some of their equipment got stolen, and they were kind of scaled down, and they said, we're going to come back and give you a better show. Remember something like, because they came twice almost. It was in one summer.
Yeah.
They came back.
So if I remember, if we're talking about the same shows, it wasn't.
Yeah, the Eliminator Tour, Worcester. I think it was. Was it Worcester?
It was Worcester. So what you're talking about is, and you're right.
It wasn't the Boston Garden?
No, it was not at the Boston Garden.
Okay.
If we're talking about the same show with the Sammy Hagar and whatnot, that was the Worcester Centrum.
Okay. I was drunk anyway, so.
Yes, you were. And we were in the front row, and our tickets were nowhere near the front row. So that was back in the day. Me, you, Johnny Cash.
So me and John Cash.
But our Johnny Cash. Where, you know, we walked down the aisle, and we were supposed to take a right to go away from the stage. And we went left and just ran up to the front of the stage almost as the lights were coming down. And I think the security people just looked at us and said, you know what?
Not worth the effort.
Right.
Just leave those animals alone. They see that? There were still animals by the ZZ Top stage.
By the stage.
Vultures.
JC had on those big green, like, circus clown sunglasses. Like the big green frames that were like twice the size of your head. You know, everybody had cheap sunglasses, right, at the show. And we're at the front where we're not supposed to be. And when they start playing Cheap Sunglasses, he takes the glasses off, the big green clown glasses, and throws them up on stage and hits Billy Gibbons in the side of the face.
Total asshole move.
Although Billy Gibbons handled it cool, he kind of looked over like, what the fuck? Like, what did I do? Asshole
move. But I have to.
I'll never forget that.
You have to forget it because it wasn't JC.
I swore it was him. Was it you?
It was me.
Jesus, you're an asshole.
And as entertained as you are by that story right now, I'm still kind of embarrassed that I did that.
Wow. So it was the three of us. I was right one way or another. It was either you or him. But for some reason, I thought it was him, but it was you. And you hit him in the side of the face.
Side of the head. Like, I thought, you know, first, I mean, you know, dumb and drunk and stupid and whatever. I was like, oh, look at me. I get giant cheap sunglasses and thought it would be hilarious. You know, and I thought, okay, he's going to pick them up and put them on like an idiot. And they just, you know, they bounced off of his shoulder and the side of his face. And he just kind of looked over at us and just kind of kept doing his thing.
Yeah, he wasn't temperamental. He wasn't like, you know, I'm going to stop the show, stop throwing shit up here.
It probably a good strategic move on my part, you know, because there were probably security guards going, watch the asshole with the giant sunglasses. And once they were gone, I was just another idiot in the audience. But to your point, they did have some equipment issues and whatnot, and they came back not more than a couple of months later, back to the same venue, different opening band. So no more Sammy Hagar. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts were the opening band. And the interesting thing was, when we saw them, they hadn't really broken wide open to the masses to the degree that they had. But between that first Centrum show and the second Centrum show, they blew up. It was easy to get tickets for the first one.
Yeah.
You could not find a ticket for the second one.
What are your top three favorite ZZ Top songs?
I like, I have to tell you, I still have a real affection for LaGrange. I know it's kind of cliche and, you know, one of their most popular songs, but that song, which is kind of a ripoff of John Lee Hooker, admittedly, is absolutely, you know, one of my favorites. What's the other one that Beer Drinking and help me out with that title?
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
Yeah. I'll have to think about that. I loved Under Pressure. I thought that was a great song. Rough Boys, I thought was a great song. You know, Pearl Necklace, hilarious song. By the way, kind of a naughty band in some of their lyrics.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Is it Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers?
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Love Beer that song.
So other than LaGrange, which is, yeah, you just got to put that in its own category. And even Tush, you kind of just push those to the side because those are the songs, right, by them. One of my favorite songs by them is this one. Right?
Yep. Jesus Left Chicago.
How fucking great is this song?
Fantastic live.
Right? Right? All right, I'll turn that off because of the copyright. Although I didn't get pegged for my show last week.
What did you play last? Oh, you played some.
I played some Happy Mondays, some Stone Roses, and
your best show yet, man.
The one without you.
Fantastic. Fantastic, dude. You know that last week you were Paul. You didn't need Garfunkel last week.
I'll tell you, it was different. It was different doing it by myself. It certainly was after doing 20 shows with you and then, you know, doing it on your own. It's kind of different because it's a totally different format.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of entertain. And someone said, you know, I talked to a good friend of mine who's a big listener and of the podcast. And he said, you know, he's brutally honest. He said, it sounded a little scripted. I said, well, I was taking people on kind of a journey, like a step-by-step of the Madchester.
Hey, man, you know, look, this is all an experiment. You try different things. Yeah. Some things work. Some things you don't work. You know, last week you realized that you can't do the show without me. I'm just shitting you, man. Totally kidding. I listened to the show. Speaking of which, and people don't know this, but once we do this show, I never go back.
I know you don't. You told me that. I thought that was interesting.
I never go back and listen to them. The only one that I went back and listened to was your show that you did last week. I thought you did a fine job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well-researched, good information.
Yeah, that's all that was. It was just an informative, because a lot of people don't know about the Madchester movement, which we'll get to in a minute. But this is my one of my favorite songs, and you mentioned it. But this video... This song, it's just Rough Boy.
Rough Boy,
right? Good tune. Oh, great tune. It's so fucking, it's just smooth. It's not like any of their other music, you know? Just a great, nice layback, listen to the music. It's a good driving song, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you bring up a good point where you were talking about Tush and LaGrange. And I don't think it's an exclusive thing to, you know, to ZZ Top. But it's easy to, you know, to kind of rattle off those because they're accessible, right? They're still... in pretty heavy rotation on you know, the radio right now. The one thing that I wish people were better about is really getting to know the bands and listening to some of those deep tracks, because there is gold in them, their hills. There's a lot of great music, and you know, and I don't care whether it's ZZ Top, Leonard Skinner, or even Led Zeppelin, where people never really kind of dive in to listen to their real catalog and that type. And I get it. It takes a little bit of effort. It's a little bit uncomfortable. You're unfamiliar with it. You're not sure if you like it, but it's a great way to kind of sustain your interest in a band without getting bored hearing Sweet Home Alabama and Freebird. There's a lot more to that band than those two songs. And the same thing with ZZ Top. They have
Aerosmith is the same way too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, ZZ Top, extensive catalog that most people don't know.
Yeah. Or they'll hear a song and they don't know ZZ Top sings it. Although Billy Gibbons does have a very unique voice, but this is my, my third, let's kill that one. And this song is just absolutely kick-ass, this song. Here we go. I'm going to let this play for a minute.
You're going a little long with this one. You're tempting fate here.
I love this fucking song. One more verse. Yeah, I'm tempting it. I don't care. Hit it, baby. You want to talk about a great song in concert. And you know why I love that song? Because, my friend, I am bad and I am nationwide.
Oh, God. Yeah, my favorite
part. Oh, I'm a bad man.
My favorite song is that funky turnaround there. It's kind of unexpected and it kind of breaks up the song. I love it.
It's a great, great song. That's a song that gets your blood flowing right there.
You know, the funny thing is you know, Billy Gibbons is not, he's not a hugely technical player. He's all feel, man. You know, and don't misunderstand me. The guy can play.
Oh, no. You'll get no, I know exactly what you're saying.
But he makes the most out of simplicity in that swampy, grungy, gritty sound that he gets. That tone is just remarkable. And the sound that band produces, just the three of them, is absolutely incredible.
Did you see the Live at Daryl's
house
with him?
Yeah.
That was a great episode, man. Now, they went on a hiatus for like 9 years.
They did.
I believe in there. He was doing a lot of his own stuff, wasn't he? He was touring around and
he didn't rest. Some of his own stuff. He had a couple of, you know, projects where he was producing and, you know, doing that type of thing and kind of putting ZZ Top. Cause you know, again, ZZ Top, they had their time. Like a lot of bands, you know, there are very, very few bands that have that creative arc and are able to sustain it. And the same thing with ZZ Top, they had kind of, It's a weird thing, right? So they have their core audience that's into that rootsy, bluesy, unprocessed stuff. And then they get really popular in the 80s with the really processed, produced drum machine synthesizers. And they lose part of that original audience. Like, you know, the purists are like, they've gone pop, you know, they've gone electric or whatnot. And then after that kind of runs its course, they say, hey, we got to get back to our roots. And all of the people that were into the synthy stuff, they're like, what the hell is this?
Right. Yeah. So we spoke some episodes ago about tacky 80s videos, right? How they were just, there was some that were just so outrageously bad, but they had to put something on, you know, on the air. The band had to get something out. So this, I think, this song, it's a great song. It's campy as they go. But the video is probably one of the worst fucking videos ever made.
Can I guess what it was?
You're going to know.
Can I say it?
No, I know you know because you were about to say it. I know you're going to. Let me play it for the audience.
Keep it.
No, look, this is the worst video. It got to be in the top five worst, right? Right? It's the cheesiest, campiest song I ever made. But it's a great song. In the video, with the Martian coming out of the old TV dinner.
You know who loved this song? JC loved this song.
It's a great song. It's, yeah. I mean, they have a way of pulling that off, man. I mean, just thinking about a fucking TV dinner. And they got, and it's the old school TV dinner, like the one with the tin for the Swansons, who is not a sponsor of this show. They peel back the corner.
Grey Guide hot sauces. Which, by the way, I still haven't gotten any hot sauce. Not a drop.
Well, yeah.
We need a new sponsor.
We need a new sponsor, yeah. We got to get a new sponsor. I'll get on him to send you some hot sauce.
Nah, it's all right.
No, you said it now. I mean, we can't insult the sponsor, but you did, so.
I want to put it on my TV dinner.
Okay. Good lead-in, buddy. Good lead-in. So let
me ask you this. You know, yeah. Big ZZ Top fan, right? So, you know, after they do Eliminator and Afterburn, and they do a bunch of stuff in, like, the later 80s and early 90s. Were you on board with that stuff? Did you listen to that? Did you buy that? Or did you fall off the bandwagon?
No, see, and that's a funny thing. So that's actually a great conversation. So in the late 80s, early 90s, like I said last week, I was kind of into that Madchester scene, right? Especially in the early 90s. In the late 80s, I was in the Philippines, where you fall off the map of music. You rely on people bringing your VHS tapes back full of videos from MTV that are 6 months old by the time we see them, you know? And you don't really stop listening. You just stop maybe paying attention because you're into something else. Like,
yeah.
You might have missed. When did Zooropa come out?
I would say that Zooropa was probably 88.
88?
Yeah.
And what came out after that?
Octung Baby.
Right. So
in like 90 or 91. So
I even fell off kind of the U2 bandwagon. They weren't on my radar.
Yeah.
You heard the songs on the radio because I was listening to something else. Doesn't mean I didn't like them, but you just heard so much of them that.
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, there's a saturation point, right? And, you know, U2, you know, as much as we love them, you know, we were hardcore U2 from 82, 83, all the way up through the, you know, the Joshua Tree. And then they do something that's a little bit, you know, off kilter, a little bit experimental, not nearly as popular. And like, okay, you know, what is this? And, you know, it's easy to turn to something else. And it's not a bad thing to take a little bit of a breather.
Right. And it's not like, and then that's the beauty of music. You can always go back and listen to it. Right. You can always go back and find what you missed, you know, and I did eventually go back and re-find Octung Baby. I mean, you heard the hits on the radio, but I wasn't listening to the whole thing. Although Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses is maybe one of the greatest songs they ever wrote.
It's a good tune.
It's one of those. It's almost like a B-side.
It's a great record. I mean, there's no question about it that Octung Baby has got a lot of stuff on it. But you know, the ZZ Top, you know, unfortunately, like a lot of bands, you know, they kind of fall out of fashion and whatnot. And we've mentioned this with you know, a number of different bands. You know, they kind of move on to their career and they kind of transition where their popularity is sustained by their touring. Yeah. You know, I mean, look, I'll challenge myself like I'll challenge you. When was the last great ZZ Top album?
Yeah, that's that we know of, that we paid attention.
Yeah, to. Yeah, that's exactly. You know, that's exactly what I mean. You know, I mean, you kind of lose touch. I think the general public loses touch. I think the critics lose touch. And you know, there may be some gems that we just haven't taken the time to listen to. Or it may be an album full of TV dinners.
Which might not be that bad.
No, of course not.
What's your least favorite ZZ Top song of all the popular songs that people might know?
I don't think I need to hear Legs, you know, anymore. I think the, you know, like the popular stuff from the 80s, and I don't know this, you know, for sure, but I think that's the one that's probably been played.
Oh, you mean this? Is this the one you don't like?
That's it. It's not that I don't like it.
The one you don't really want to hear again?
That's not, you know, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, you know,
are you
I've
listening?
Heard it so many times.
Yeah? I can't hear you. I'm listening to Legs. What were you saying?
Your legs. Speaking of legs, your head is like one of those old legs pantyhose things.
What is that supposed to mean? Why are you going deep on me like that?
Remember those big eggs?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was called legs. It was called Legs. Yeah. So what are you going deep on me like that for?
I don't know.
What did I do?
I'm just riffing, man.
You're just riffing. Why? Because I played this? Because this is not what you wanted to hear? Do you have a request for me? This is definitely going to get taken off of YouTube, so it doesn't matter.
That you're playing that, but I mean, it's, you know, I think the song is just, it doesn't have the legs that it used to, you know? It just doesn't. You know what? This is ZZ Top. I like the bluesy stuff, and I have to tell you that sometimes the slower the better.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree with that. And they do it well. They did it well. Do you think that's it for them?
Well, let me ask you something. Now that Dusty, God rest, God bless, thank you for everything. Now that he's gone and they've actually gotten, I think it's Billy's, right, guitar tech that has actually stepped in. They've already played a live show since Dusty died.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I could never do it. I couldn't do it. I made the mistake.
So you would not. You're done. You will not go see ZZ Top anymore.
No, I can't. I can't. I just love them that much. Again, if I saw a band more than once, that means, I mean, they're up there. It's Depeche Mode, U2, Tom Petty, ZZ Top. There's one other band, Korn, and that's it for, like, I don't. So if I go to see them more than once, I'm a devout fan and I'm a purist. I made the mistake of seeing Alice in Chains. That was a fucking huge mistake.
Yeah, but they were an opening band, right? So you didn't go just to see Alice in Chains.
Well, I, you know what got me is curiosity. And I was right. I should have stayed out.
It may be good, but it just can't live up to the legend and the original band.
Hey,
and you know what? Dusty Hill, that bottom, the way that he played, that guy had ham hocks for fingers. Jesus. And the way that he stood with his legs spread a little bit and his back just kind of arched back a little bit. He was the spirit of that band.
Cooler than cool, man.
Yeah.
Cooler than cool.
Yeah.
So speaking of legendary bands, so and to get off, we're getting ready to close shop. We're gonna head out of LaGrange in a few minutes and get on that bus with Jesus back to Chicago. But I put out our the battle of our super bands.
Oh God!
I put it out, and evidently, it was about a 70%, 30% landslide for my band.
Whose page did you put it out on?
Oh, I shared it and shared it. You and I have the same fucking 700 friends.
Dude, if we're gonna do a battle of the bands, then yeah, let's do a battle of the bands where we each get to pick. You gave me choices.
Oh, no, it's, No, we're not gonna go, let's pick a super band. I gave you choices because I'm the host. That's my job. I keep this machine running. I'm the one that pushes it. And you're just in my sidecar. I'm like a motorcycle.
Listen, not for nothing. The fact that, you know, they picked A over B 70% or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I do.
Music and art is subjective and in the eye of the beholder or the ear of the beholder. And because I like that band, that hey, I don't have any problem with other bands. But hey, look, the Backstreet Boys are a hell of a lot more popular.
Than you're right. The Backstreet Boys. That's you should have continued with the. But I like the fact that my band was better than your band. I'm a simplistic.
My band was better than your band.
That's right. No, so you can't say that because your band wasn't. My band.
Oh, hey, well, one thing I have
so said, look at so our buddy Bill Green, he said Fred Schneider would be the singer of his band.
I love it.
If you see a painted sign on the side of the road that says 16 miles to the Love Shack.
That was fantastic.
Did I sound like him?
You sounded just like him. It was outstanding.
Jim Mack, God rest his soul. I have to share
something with you.
Love that. Right.
So apparently there's a subscription service on Amazon.
Yeah.
Where you can pay a flat fee on a monthly basis and they will send you an album each month. You don't know what it's going to be.
Oof.
They can just send it, right? So I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I'll sign up for this and maybe hear some things that I may not have heard in a long time. So I got my first disc, my first album today. You ready?
I'm ready. Oh, Van Halen 1.
Van Halen 1. Like, I've never heard this record. Like, I don't have five fucking copies of this goddamn thing.
I'm glad you brought that up because we have a friend of mine, good friend. I've known him. I worked with him side by side out on the field ops for U.S. Customs, canine handlers, me and him. He just started listening to the show, and he's from Arkansas. He's like, God damn, you motherfuckers are funny.
Well,
you guys are good. He loves it.
He must have started with last week's show.
He goes, yeah, you fuckers should do, because that's how they talk in Arkansas, evidently. Fuckers, you should do an episode of Van Halen. I love
some Van Halen.
So I told him, Richard Merrill, my buddy, next week we'll do Van Halen. I promised him we would do an episode of Van Halen. So he gets his way. See, if the fans ask, we give it to them. If anybody has a request for a show, just email us at milkcratesandturntables@gmail.com. If that's too many letters to type, then just message one of us.
I like me some Van Halen. We listen to it when they have the crab meat boys down there. We eat 300-400 pounds.
It's Van Halen.
Van Halen.
No, you got to stretch out the A. Van.
Van.
Van Halen.
Van.
You Italians can't do accents, can you?
We can do accents.
Yeah. Making fun. You do a good Irish accent, right? Only to mock me.
All right.
All right, buddy.
8:59.
Yeah, another good show. Another
quick
good
hour,
show.
Brother.
Yeah. Yeah,
by the way, if anybody listening or watching wants to buy a copy of Van Halen 1, still sealed.
Oh, wait a minute. We got somebody.
Grand final.
So Mark Flynn says, my show request is Best of the Go-Go's. Of course, that'll be a very short show. Our lifelong friend, Jack Kelly Adamson, says, Backstage Jack Van Halen, remember?
Yes, I do.
And we'll talk about that next week. So, Kelly, you made the show. You made the show. And Scott, the IT guy, has evidently snoozed us. So
he's doing Z,
yeah, tops. He's just doing Z's right now. All right. So, everybody, thanks for listening. If you like it, share it. Leave a comment. And that's it.
Don't forget, everybody, we're nationwide.
Yeah. So it is, so it was, as it shall be. And we are out.